The Greeks used to say we are what we eat, but Paul says we become like what we worship. If we worship God, we become more like God. If we worship animals, we become like animals and behave like animals, just like them. It starts with this infatuation with ourselves. Daniel chapter 2 is a funny... I'll just tell you the story. There's Nebuchadnezzar has his dream about this gold statue, and the head is gold, and the chest is I get this wrong, iron, and but the feet are clay, and he says, okay, magicians, what does it mean? And they go, we don't really know, you know. And he says, well, I'm going to put you all to death. And Daniel says, don't kill everybody. I'll tell you. I'll appeal to God. And Daniel does. He says, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, that's about the kingdoms of the world. And there's the blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But you, Nebuchadnezzar, are that golden head there. God's given you sovereignty over the world to really rule it for him, to bring God's glory to the world. And Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, great. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar is building a gold statue and demanding everybody bows down and worships it. And if they don't worship it, they're going to be thrown into the fiery pit like Shadrach, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whoa! Nebuchadnezzar, you're believing your own press, man. You made yourself... You know what I mean? We so easily begin to think we're God. We're God. In Paul's day, Caesar is God. Caesar is Lord. He's a God. What follows is the worship of... Paul says, man, you now the glorified God, so you made images like men, then like animals. So you start with men. The next thing you know, you're making golden calves. And by the end of Revelation, it's all merged into one thing, some man they called a beast. That everybody bows down and worships to, because they're not worshiping God. Point number 2. Wow, I'll hurry up. Point number 2, the real issue. Verse 18, I think, is really, really important. And the last 2 points are shorter. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. You know, I think the order is very important. The wrath of God is revealed against all the godlessness and then the wickedness of people. Many people think, Paul is drawing this picture of Moses coming down the mountain with the two tablets, the Ten Commandments, you know, some on one and some on the other. On one commandment are all the scriptures, are all the commands of God that says worship only God, make no graven images, don't take the Lord's name in vain, all about God and how we treat God. And on one thing is all the ways we're supposed to treat one another. Don't steal, don't covet, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't honor your parents. And Paul says, okay, yeah, the wrath of God is revealed against first of all, this commandment, you drop and break about God, and boom, you don't break all the other commandments about how we treat one another. Kind of interesting little picture. You know, by the turn of this, but he starts with, we drop this side first, which is godless. We become godless. Greek word asebio. Asebio means reverence. And so asebio means without reverence. Without respect. Or we become godless. At the turn of last century, in the 1900s, all over the Western world, in Europe, and in England, and America, what broke into theological circles was that we got to stop stressing God all the time, and we got to start stressing being good. We're not sure about God, and we've been doing some critical stories about the historicalness of Jesus. Was he really a person or not? But bag all that. Let's not talk about God anymore. Let's go in our churches and let's preach being good. Being good for goodness sake. Sounds like Santa Claus, doesn't it? You better be good. What? Well, for goodness sake. Oh, whoa, goodness sake. And then what followed, as churches bought into that and stopped preaching about God and reverence for God and focus on God, people got worse and worse. Worse and worse. And World War I broke out. and World War II broke out. Whoa, what's all this about? Our world's getting better and better day by day. Not so. They used to say, well, you know, well, religion's the problem. Like John Lennon says, just imagine a world where there is no more religion. At the turn of the last century, they said, yeah, religion's been bad for the world. It's caused so many problems and so many wars and problems. So let's get rid of religion. Wow. They did. Things like the Inquisition. How many people died in the Inquisition? Well, about 7,000. About 7,000. We actually know the numbers. Okay. Let's get rid of God. And then we have Lenin, godless. Stalin, godless. Hitler, godless. Mao, godless. Pol Pot, godless. We're not talking about 8,000 anymore. We're talking about 100 million people dead from godless men who professed godlessness, that there is no God. And you're telling me religion's the problem? I'm telling you the lack of it's the problem. We stop stressing God. Okay, you teach, you got to really be nice. Well, yeah, be nice. But let me tell you, you don't focus on God, and your behavior will be just take care of itself. We'll get to that behavior business. But focus on God. You adults, it's about God. I know you're older and you're not struggling with things you used to struggle with. But are you focused on God? Do you make decisions without God? I make a decision, I make plans, and then I say, oh yeah, let me pray about that. You're godless. You're godless. And godlessness precedes all these other behavior. We look at our kids sometimes and we think, oh, our kids, man, my kids, I've had lots of studies with teens, and always the mom tends to say, well, my boy's a good boy. My boy's a good boy. And I think, we are not what we are in our mother's eyes. There is another side to your sweet little boy. You know, but we think, oh, he says, well, man, let's just tack on a little God to his goodness already. Really? No, man, your boy and your girl, and I mean, by the world standards, maybe they are good. But by God's standards, they are under his wrath. And they need to repent of their sins and be forgiven, because no one is good but God alone. If the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, which the Bible says over and over again, then we and our children and our friends will never know God if we don't have reverence for God and God in our lives. You know, there's love and there's hate and there's apathy. And we all know what everybody says is the very worst, which is what? Apathy. And yet when it comes to our spiritual lives, we think, well, I don't hate God. I'm not sure I love him. I'm just there right in the middle, the old apathetic spot. And that's okay. Third and last point, and I'll finish quickly. Those evil people, thank God I'm not like them. Those evil people, thank God I'm not like them. I think it's easy to read Romans and say, amen, Paul. Come on, man. You're not worried about political correctness anymore. You're telling it like it is. You will not say to them, you will not give in to suppression of the truth, which is what the text says. All that perverse sexual behavior, you don't see that as a consequence of someone's DNA or their gene. You think it's about sin. It's about time somebody laid it out there. Thank you, God, but I'm not like them. Well, amen. And Paul says, well, amen. I'm glad you're not, you know, homosexual or these other things, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not finished, Paul says. I got some more sins to talk about. Let's see whether or not you still say, I am innocent. And so verse 29, he starts talking. And he says there about wickedness is more specifically defined there. He says, what is it? Well, it's evil. Okay. It's depravity. Depravity. Okay, about that was that early stuff, right? It's envy. Whoa, envy. You know, about what? Well, about things or looks or jobs or abilities or some weird competition or competitiveness. It's not being happy with who you are and resentful that others have when you don't have. Man, let's burn down the city. Strife. Whoa. Deceit. Hating who you are and what is really going on. Malice. Grudges. Gossips. Easy, Paul. Talking bad about others. Well, what else can you talk about at work if you don't talk about each other and complain about each other? Slanderers, putting others down. God haters, insolent. You know that insolent, that rudely cheeky stuff. Arrogant and boastful. Oh my gosh. You just wiped out all professional sportsmen. You invent ways of doing evil. Oh my God. Disobeying parents. Whoa. All the things I'm not doing, and then he goes off all the things you're not doing positively as well. You have no understanding. In other words, you're not trying to understand God. You're not opening your Bibles and saying, man, like the Ethiopian eunuch, help me to understand. How can I unless somebody helps me? Please, study the Bible with me. No fidelity, no loyalty, no love, no mercy. Man, we not only know this, Paul says, that it's wrong, but we laugh about these things with your mates as if they're not really serious. Mercy, man, we are all drowning. What illusions have we been making about ourselves as if we really aren't messed up? We are messed up. We do need a Savior. We do need a righteousness that can be given to us through Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross. Because we are so far from being what God wants us to be. Then we can react, understanding that, with thankfulness and glorification of what God has done for us. They say gratitude is the basis of all relationships. Why do you love your family? Because it's some kind of gene? No, it's pure, it's called gratitude. Why do you love, who are your friends? It's based on gratitude. You don't have friends who always use and abuse you. You have gratitude. Husbands and wives, it's based on gratitude. But if you have no relationship with God, it's because you have no gratitude about what God has done. Because you have not seen your lostness and your sin and the knowledge that you're drowning. And Paul says, I want to start. The righteous shall live by faith. But understand the bad news. So you can be so grateful for the good news. That these sins, which are so atrocious and embarrassing, and which we try to hide, that my son will come and die for you. It's good to remember the bad news so that we can truly see the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us live by faith. Amen.